Selamun aleyküm ve rahmetullahi ve berekatuhu. Euzu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi rabbil alamin. Nahmeduhu ve nusabbihuhu ve nuqaddisuhu ala alaihi ve ni'amaihi. Ve neşhedü en la ilahe illallah vahdehu la şerike leh. إلها واحدا أحدا فردا سيدا قيوما نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله
اللهم صل على محمد
أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Imagine that today would be your last day to live on earth. That this morning, as you awoke, that the angel Azrael, alayhi salam, he came to you and he gives you a warning and he tells you that you have 24 hours to live. Tomorrow, this time, I'll be back to take your life. It'll be time for you to depart this earth, to depart this life. How would you live these last moments of your life? How would you spend these last hours and minutes of your life on earth? As for me, I'd probably spend a little bit more time focusing on my prayers. The next few prayers that I have to pray, I'd probably pray with a little bit more awareness, with a little bit more khushu', recognition, contemplation. I'd probably pray my prayers slowly, with thought, with full awareness, being in my prayers completely from beginning till end, not having my mind wander left and right. I'd probably spend some time seeking forgiveness for my sins, for my faults, for my errors, seeking forgiveness from those who I may have wronged or hurt or humiliated, and also forgiving others, forgiving those who may have hurt me. I may spend some time giving extra time and attention to my loved ones, my parents, my spouse, my children, my siblings, my family members and friends and relatives, being a little bit more considerate in my interactions with friends, with strangers, and even with foes and enemies. I'd be a little bit more considerate. Essentially, we'd probably spend a lot of time preparing for our departure, packing our bags, making sure that whatever we pack for tomorrow will be beneficial for us when we embark on this trip. Most of us, probably all of us, would be preparing for tomorrow. We'd probably avoid engaging in petty and trivial arguments and discussions and things that are not important. We'd probably be preparing for tomorrow. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. Allah commands us. He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, attaqullah, be conscious of your Lord. Be cognizant of your Lord. Attaqullaha wal tandur nafsun ma qaddamat lighad. And let each soul and each person evaluate and ask itself what it has prepared for tomorrow. Let it prepare for tomorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to always and continuously prepare for tomorrow. Prepare for this final departure from where we leave this life, this temporal, temporary life, and transit into the permanent life, the eternal abode. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsun ma qaddamat lighad. Let each and every soul ask itself what it has prepared for tomorrow. One of the biggest problems that many of us face is that we usually take much of our life for granted. Much of the life, a big chunk of the lives that we live, many individuals take for granted. And many of us, including myself, are guilty of this. We take things for granted. We take life and all of life's blessings for granted. We wake up in the morning, right? We open our eyes, and we take for granted the fact that we were given the opportunity to open our eyes that morning, to wake up from sleep. We perhaps open our eyes and we don't necessarily think twice about how for the past few hours as we were sleeping, our hearts were beating and we were breathing without much effort on our parts. We jump out of bed, we run towards, you know, the bathroom or the shower without thinking or without noticing how significant it is, this great blessing that we are able to actually stand on our feet. And all of the effort that is needed for us to get up and to stand on our feet and to walk. The effort that is needed for us to be able to balance and coordinate, walk without falling over. Right? We turn on the faucet, you know, to wash our faces or brush our teeth. And we don't think about the great blessing that we have access to clean running water. That we have access to this clean running water just with a simple turn of the wrist. All we do is we turn our wrists, right? And of course, we have to pay the bills, but that also is a blessing because that means that we have a steady job with a steady income for us to be able to pay our bills. While millions of people live without access to clean water or running water, but we, many of us, we do have these blessings and we take them for granted. We don't necessarily think about them, right? We stand in front of the mirror while we're combing our hair and getting ready, right? And we don't think about God's blessings that He has given us. The other day, I was looking at myself in the mirror, you know, appreciating and admiring God's beauty. And as I was standing there looking, I focused on, you know, my eyelashes. I began to look at my eyelashes. And I thought to myself, I said, you know what? It's amazing these eyelashes that we have. We probably look at ourselves, especially, you know, with the increased number of selfies that we're taking on a daily basis. We see ourselves, in addition to the mirrors, we see ourselves in our phones too, increasingly, right? But we perhaps don't necessarily think about these special features that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Something as simple as eyelashes, and what the benefit of these few hairs lining around our eyelids, how important they are for keeping our eyes safe and clean. And without them, not only would we sort of physically look weird, but without them, we'd experience all sorts of problems in seeing, in getting irritated eyes, in infected eyes. These eyelashes, these simple eyelashes, they solve so many problems. Right? When we close them when we're asleep, and we close our eyes, they come together in order to help keep dirt, pollutants, and other things out of our eyes. They keep our eyes clean and safe. Right? Sometimes you'll notice that if you're sitting, it's as if they have certain sensors on them. Where sometimes you might be sitting and you feel a small fly or something come close to your eyelashes. You can feel it. It's as if there are sensors, and these sensors, they push you to blink to make sure that through this blink you're protecting your eyes from anything external entering into your eyes and hurting your eyes. One of countless blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We eat our food, we drink, without necessarily thinking about these great blessings and how fortunate we are to have food in our fridge and roof over our head, where countless people living on earth today don't have access to food or drink, don't have a place to stay, don't have a bed to sleep in, don't have a roof over their heads. These are all great blessings. And many times we take these blessings for granted, and it's only when we experience loss in our lives that we realize how important life is, how important the blessings that we have in life are. When we lose money, property, health, when we experience loss of life, then we realize how important these things are. Our second Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, he says in the hadith, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He says, "Tujhalu an-ni'amu ma aqamat." He says, as long as the blessings are there, as long as the blessings are there, the food is on the table, you have a roof over your head, you're healthy, you have a steady income, you have a job, you have family members, you have friends, things are okay. As long as the blessings are there, they are neglected. تُجْهَلُ النِّعَمْ مَا أَقَامَتْ. And then he says, فَإِذَا وَلَّتْ عُرِفَتْ. Once these blessings, they disappear, they vanish, then they are recognized. Our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says in the famous hadith, he says, نِعْمَتَانِ مَكْفُورَتَانِ. Two blessings which are usually taken for granted, which are usually forgotten, they're overlooked. نِعْمَتَانِ مَكْفُورَتَانِ. الْأَمْنُ وَالْعَافِيَةِ. One is security, and the second is الْعَافِيَةِ, health. Security is a great blessing, brothers and sisters. Most of us, the vast majority of us, we live in relatively safe neighborhoods, right? The neighborhoods that we live in are relatively safe. They have minimal crime. Our children, they leave the house in the morning and they're safe on their way to school or work. And, you know, they come back. No one bothers them. There's no risk of them, you know, experiencing a terror attack or a car bomb or, you know, any form of insecurity. Minimal. The risks are minimal, right? But yet, there are many who live in other parts of this same state or city or country who do not have this blessing, the same level of security that many of us have. Who, when they leave their homes, there is a real risk that something will happen to them. That they may get harassed, They may be victims of abuse or harassment or theft or even murder, as has happened in many cities across this nation and in many parts across the world. But we take it for granted. We take the safety, security for granted. I remember reading a story about some of the families of the victims of the 9/11 attacks. Their families, the families of the victims, they had published some of their stories of what had happened to them, what they had experienced on that fateful day. And one story was interesting. This woman, she says that, "My husband, he worked in the Twin Towers, and that morning, as he was leaving for work, he came to kiss me goodbye as he's leaving the house. Yet I refused to kiss him. Why? Because I just had put fresh lipstick on my lips. I didn't want to mess up, you know, the lipstick that I had just put on my lips. And so I refused to kiss him as he was leaving the house. And that was the last time that she saw him." Do we think, perhaps, that as my wife or as my husband is leaving for school or work in the morning, my kids are going to school, that this would be the last moment I see them? We usually don't. We usually have hopes that they'll come back and we'll have dinner and, you know, the days will continue. We don't, because we take security for granted. Because for us, security is something that's always been there and that will always, inshallah, be there. It's not an important thing for us. We take it for granted. But those who live in insecure places, they realize the significance of security, how important it is. Or health, the second, according to the Prophet, the second blessing that is usually taken for granted is health. Alhamdulillah, most of us are healthy. We have been given health. And it's only when we face certain consequences, when this health is taken away from us, when we have a cold or a flu, or God forbid, something more serious, that we realize how important health is. Just a couple of weeks ago, last week, I was visiting Iraq, Karbala, and I remembered all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, in my prayers there. And during my visit there, I was visiting a family member, an elderly family member, who had just come back from medical treatment abroad. She had just come back to Iraq. And this woman had become frail. Frail. You know, the Iraqis, they have a phrase, they say skin on bones, translates to skin on bones, that she's nothing, she's just skin on bones. She's lost all strength, right? She could barely move, she could barely sit up from her bed, she could barely speak. While I remember this woman, when we would go to her home and visit her, she was one of the most active people. She would be running back and forth from the kitchen to the living room, bringing tea and sweets and juice and cooking all sorts of food and back and forth and, you know, speaking and talking, and without nonstop, she would not sit for a moment. But when health is taken away, and it doesn't come back, it doesn't come back easy. When it's taken away, we realize how significant it is. And it's important for us, brothers and sisters, that we realize that the best way for us to avoid taking life and its blessings for granted is to take advantage of all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We have to take advantage. We have to take advantage of the various blessings that we have. We have to take advantage of the life that we have been given. Our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, "Kun ala umurika ashahha minka ala dirhamika wa dinarik." Very beautiful. In Islam, we know that stinginess, greediness is something that is frowned upon. It's not a good thing, right? We are encouraged to be kind and generous. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, when it comes to your life, when it comes to your life,
Be more protective and be stingier and greedier with your life than you are with your dirham and dinar, with your dollars.
We're all protective of our money. We work hard, we make an income, and we want to protect our assets, our capital, our money, right? Our income, we want to protect it. We are overprotective. When the credit card bill comes every month, we sit down meticulously, right? We check each and every item. We have the receipts saved. We make sure that they exactly correspond, that there is not a single cent more or less. We make sure and we calculate. Because even if there's a single cent, I'm going to call the credit card company and I'm going to give them, you know, something to listen, to hear. We're overprotective. This is my money. I've worked very hard for it. I have to protect it. And it's a good thing that we do. Yet the Prophet, he says, be more protective over your life than your money. Don't take it for granted. Don't let it go to waste. Many of us, including myself, we spend minutes and hours and days and months wasting our lives doing things that are absolutely unimportant, if not harmful for us. And it's important for us that we realize that this life that Allah has given us, these years that Allah has given us, they are important, they are a blessing, we have to take advantage of them. They are an opportunity for us and we have to take advantage of them. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says in the hadith, he says, رَحِمَ امْرِئًا عَلِمَ أَنَّ نَفَسَهُ خُطَاهُ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ. May God's mercy be upon that individual who realizes, who is aware that every breath that he takes is a step closer to death. Allahu Akbar. So beautiful. He reminds us, he says, you see this breath that you're taking, each and every breath? Although this is a source of sustenance and life for you, without breathing, there is no way that you can stay alive. Yet at the same time, this source of life is also what? A source of death. With every breath, we are a step closer to death, to our final time. So he says, may God's mercy be upon that individual who realizes that every breath he takes is a step closer to death. And with that, he does what? فَبَادَرَ عَمَلَهُ وَقَصَّرَ أَمَلَهُ. And as a result of this realization, he does what? فَبَادَرَ عَمَلَهُ. He begins to hasten in working, in producing. He realizes that he only has a limited amount of time and he takes advantage of this time. He produces, he works, and he decreases what? He decreases his hopes. There are some people who live on hopes. One day, I'll do this huge thing, this huge project. They live on hopes. Yet, when we realize that life is short and it's coming to an end quickly, Imam Ali says, the successful one is the one who takes advantage, who produces, who begins to work, who begins to invest. And so we are encouraged to take advantage of our life. Our lives are God's gift to us. The way that we live our lives is our gift back to God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts us life and He expects from us to use the blessings within our lives and life itself in a manner which is pleasing to Allah. And this is our gift or our attempt at gifting back to God for His innumerable blessings upon us. And this requires awareness, brothers and sisters. It requires intention. It requires developing a course of action. It requires planning. It requires self-evaluation and re-evaluation. We have to constantly be thinking about how we can take advantage of our lives. What can we do? How can we prepare? We ask ourselves, how am I spending my life? Am I spending my life in a manner which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I investing my time and my effort and my resources in things which please Allah? قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Quran commands the Prophet, say, Ya Rasulallah, inna salati, my prayers, wa nusuki, my acts of devotion, my sacrifices, wa mahyaya, my life, wa mamati, my death, lillahi rabbil alameen. All of this is what? It's for the sake of God. None other. I'm not working for the sake of my parents or my spouse or my friends or my family members or anyone else. My life in its entirety should be dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the command that we are given, and this is what we should be shooting for in our lives. How do we do this? We'll talk about briefly in the second sermon, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. صلوات أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلي اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. When we discuss the significance of living our lives on purpose and the purpose behind living our lives to be the pleasure and satisfaction of Allah, to dedicate our entire lives to God, for many, when we think about this, it seems to be a grand goal, something that is major for an individual to dedicate everything that he or she has, their entire life, to God. That this is a great endeavor, a great objective. Yet for many, it seems to be an overwhelming objective. Something that seems to be daunting. Something that is too much to take, too much to handle. I mean, who is able to dedicate everything that they have? Their actions, their thoughts, their utterances, their relationships, their interactions, everything that they do, their intention, to do it solely for the pleasure of Allah. It's not an easy feat. It's not something easy. And for many, this seems to be a daunting and overwhelming task. So some individuals, they freeze. When they think about this, they freeze. And they wait. And they think, well, perhaps if I wait and I put my trust in God, that this master plan will roll out, perhaps on a red carpet, right? And everything will become very easy for me. I can start to choose and take the right course and reach that destination that I want. But for now, I'll wait. Others, when they think about this daunting task, it pushes them even further to do what?
to completely quit. They say this is something unrealistic. This is something unattainable.
And so they quit. And they turn away. And they lead lives of deviation. They just quit entirely. They say, you know what, this is not for me. Let me live my life comfortably the way I want to live my life, without any sort of rules and regulations, external rules and regulations or higher objectives. And I'm fine with living such a life. Unfortunately, some people, this is the path that they choose. And the problem is because we think of this objective as a giant objective, as something that is huge. We focus on this huge objective, and in doing so, we tend to overlook and neglect the small steps that it takes to reach such an objective. Because everything magnificent, everything great in life, we have to remember, everything great is made up of a series of small steps. Everything. And this is something that is applicable to all aspects of our lives. It's very much like driving at night. When we drive at night, we turn on our headlights. When we turn on our headlights and we're driving at night, we tend not to see further than the projection of our headlights, which is maybe a couple of hundred feet. If you have your high beams on, maybe add another 100 or 200 feet. Right? Yet, with this short vision, this short amount of vision, just a couple of hundred, few hundred feet in front of you, you can make a trek that is a few hundred miles long this way. Just by being able to see the next few hundred feet, you can make a trip of a few hundred miles. And this is applicable to all areas of our lives. When it comes to completing our education, right? Some young people, I just had a conversation just yesterday with a young man who was deciding on which school he wanted to, he had applied to a number of schools, which school to go and attend. And you know, he had called me, he left a message, he said, I'm overwhelmed. He said, I don't know what to do. I've been getting acceptances and rejections from various universities. I don't know what to do. It's a big decision. He's making a big decision, right? So when we think about these huge tasks, they seem daunting, they seem overwhelming. And I told him, listen, I mean, the first thing that you want to do is, you know the major that you want to, you know, you've decided on the major, right? Now, these schools that have accepted you, perhaps a good idea would be to go and to see their rankings. Go and see which of these schools ranks better in terms of their facilities, in terms of their instructors, and so on, their resources, and so on and so forth. He thought about it, he said, well, I mean, that's a good idea, right? We are able to think of the next right step, the small step, when it comes to completing our education, when it comes to choosing a career path, when it comes to getting married, when it comes to parenting and raising children. You know, every once in a while, there's always an expert who comes out and calculates the cost of raising a child. And it's, I think it's in the six digits, right? It's in the six digits. For a parent to raise a child from birth until they put them in school or put them through college, it's in the six digits. But it's not this price tag that pushes would-be parents away from becoming parents. If someone were to come and calculate all of the time and all of the effort and all of the sleepless nights and all of the struggle that parents and especially mothers go through in order to raise a child, believe me, the human race would be extinct. But it's a small step. We think about small steps. We don't think about this huge plan, this huge objective. Otherwise, it would not be something attainable for us. And in life, this is what we have to keep in mind, brothers and sisters. When we talk about living our lives and using the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in a manner which is pleasing to Allah, although this great objective may seem daunting and unattainable and overwhelming, yet if we break it down into simple steps, into small steps, into immediate action plans, action plan items, then it becomes much easier. And there is no one-size-fits-all solution, brothers and sisters. Each and every one of us, we evaluate ourselves. We ask ourselves, where is it in our life that we need to grow and work on? If I have missed prayers, for instance, I have a number of years. 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 years of missed prayers, right? And I'd want to make them up. 10 years sounds like a huge number. Who can make up 10 years of missed prayers? If I think about it this way, yes, it's discouraging. Yet I have to start somewhere. I have to put a course of action, a plan. And if I start from today, I say, from today, with every prayer that I pray, I'll pray an extra prayer in order to miss. Perhaps tomorrow, if I'm able to, I'll pray two extra prayers with every prayer, and so on and so forth, then it becomes a much more easy task. It becomes attainable. If I have to seek forgiveness from 10 individuals that I've hurt, I go to the first individual, and then I go to the second individual, and to the third. If there is something that I need to work on when it comes to my interactions with my parents, or when it comes to changing my attitude, if I have an anger problem, right, and I want to fix this anger problem, I start small. I make a promise that for the next few hours, I will keep my temper. I'll manage my temper. And then I extend it for another few hours. And then I try to do an entire day, and then a week, and so on and so forth. If we're able to break up these steps, break up these tasks into small steps, it becomes attainable. It becomes much easier. And it requires patience and consistency, brothers and sisters. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet tells us that the secret to success is not to count up the costs or to look at the big picture. The secret to success is to do what? Is to take small steps but be consistent. In the hadith, the Prophet says, أَفْضَلُ الْعَمَلِ أَدْوَمُهُ وَإِنْ قَلْ. Says the best of actions is that which is persistent, that which is consistent, that which is stable, even if it's a little bit. Even if it's a little. Because it's not about size. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. It's about how much effort we put in. And consistency and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every one of us can work on using the blessings that Allah has given us in a manner which is satisfactory to Allah. If Allah has given me income, if Allah has given me wealth, I may not necessarily be able to build a huge hospital, but I can sponsor one orphan. I can sponsor two orphans. I can, you know, I might not be able to build an orphanage, but sponsor an orphan, for instance. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me intellect, I may not be able to write an entire book, but I can teach someone a thing or two, a small sentence, a small phrase. I can teach a person something small, something minor. Many of the great individuals who lived and had huge accomplishments, they started small. I give you one example, and I don't give this example, brothers and sisters, because of blood relation. No, absolutely not. But because I've seen this firsthand. I haven't read or heard about this. I've seen it. One example is my grandfather, Ayatullah Qazwini. Many of you have know him. He used to live here, right? And when he returned to Iraq, he made a promise. He went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When he returned to Karbala, he went to Imam Hussein and he made a promise to Imam Hussein. He made a vow. He told him, "Oh Imam, my grandfather, he had to undergo heart surgery." He made a vow to the Imam. He said, "Oh Imam, if I come out of this surgery successfully and I'm given health, I vow to build a hospital in your city." A hospital. It's not an easy project. Especially for a man in his 70s. He doesn't have money. He doesn't have wealth. He's not a merchant. He's not a businessman. But he made this promise. He made this promise to Imam Hussein. And he began to work slowly but surely. And many of you have gone to Karbala, although the project is not finished yet. It's in its final stages. But many of you have probably seen it firsthand or seen it on the internet or seen photos of it. A huge hospital, state-of-the-art hospital, which is being built in the city of Karbala, in the city of Imam Hussein. Slowly but surely. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens with small steps, with consistency, and with reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah the Almighty to give us the capacity to live our lives in a manner which is pleasing to Him, to allow us to invest our lives and our blessings, our resources, our time and efforts in those things which are beneficial to us and beneficial to His creation and beneficial for our hereafter. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وأستغفر الله لي ولكم قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.